Isn't the Lord's presence amazing? Just remain in this attitude of worship, and we just want to thank the band for their contribution and leading us. Wow. God is good, eh? God, can't stand that, man. I'm like, yoo-hoo. God is so good. Well, this morning, I am personally just very excited what God is doing here this morning. What He's been doing the last 2,000 years. I'm actually excited about that. Because God is always at work, amen? And our God is a good God. I want to tell you that God is a good God. This morning, He's in a good mood. He's not angry with you. He loves you. This morning, He celebrates us. That His word came, He wants to tabernacle with us. The word became flesh and dwell among us. God wants to come and live among us in a bigger way than we can ever imagine. So I want to just want to encourage you, just open your hearts for more of God. He is faithful to meet you at the place of your need and even go beyond that. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. The Amplified throws in there what you dream or desire. So I just want to just say, just keep on expecting God for good things to come to your life. Amen? Because that's the definition of hope. A confident expectation of something good happening to us. And hope is the soil where faith grows in. So if we can maintain a place of hope in our lives, faith can grow and miracles can start to happen and the impossible can become possible. Amen? So this morning, I am excited to be here with you and to share with what God has had upon my heart for us. And but I just want to share, yes, man, I don't know about you, but I sense the worship was so loaded. Amen? It was so loaded with the angelic and with God's voice, man. I just hear the words freedom the whole time. Freedom and freedom. And God wants to, I sense a picture in my heart of a pregnant person. I sense that God is growing us. God is stretching our capacity in where we are and in our marriages, in our businesses, in the ministry, where you are part of this church. God is brewing something in our spirits. Amen. And I declare this morning, there's going to come a time of birth. There's going to come a time of birthing in this church where something amazing is going to happen. And God is going to do it again, and He's going to pour out His Spirit once again upon us. So I just want to encourage you, just stay in that place of hunger with God. Just cry out to Him and say, God, like David was in the wilderness, God, I want more of Him. My heart and my flesh cries out for You, God. I'm thirsty for You, Father. Let's stay in that place of expectation and hunger and thirst and desperation for what God wants to do. Amen. That was very serious, amen? But God is not only a good God. God is a joyful God, amen? Maybe you don't know God in that way, but that's a part of God I've learned the last 2 years. I can't stop laughing in His presence. It's just crazy. I'm like, God, I feel ridiculous in a way, but I'm just not as I say, God, I'm just letting go. Because, hey, the Bible says in Psalms 2 that He who sits in heavens laughs at His enemies. God is a joyful being at the moment. He laughs at our enemies and he makes spectacle for us to triumph over. So this morning before I start, I want to just throw in a little joke here for us just to relax. The visitors, there's no secret agenda. We just want to love you and reveal Christ to you the best we can. Just listen to the story which I found in this week. It says, one day there was a little old Christian lady living next door to an atheist. Every morning the lady comes out onto the front porch and shouts, "Praise the Lord!" Sounds like some of us, eh? On the beach. This atheist held back, "There's no God." She did this every morning with the same result. The atheist comes and he mocks her. He said, "There's no God. You shut up, man." As time went by, the old lady got into financial troubles and a difficulty to even buying food. She went out onto the porch once again and asked God to help her with groceries. And then she says, "Praise the Lord." Sounds funny to me. The next morning, she went out onto the porch once again, and there, supernaturally, groceries was in front of her front door. She once again went outside and says, "Praise the Lord!" And just then, the atheist jumps out from behind the bush and says, "Ah, I brought you that groceries. There is no God." She's like, she feels terribly depressed. She thought about it. She said, the lady looked at him and smiled, and she shouts, "Praise the Lord! Not only did you, God, provide me with the food, but you made Satan to pay for the groceries. That's the way of the kingdom, amen? So I just want to tell us this morning, have a good laugh. God is in a good mood. He loves us. But I want to tell you, I've got respect for old ladies. Sorry, I mean well-aged women in a congregation which has got faith like this lady. It doesn't matter what happens to us, we will always say, praise the Lord, amen? So let's learn from her to persevere when it's tough. But that was just on the side. This morning, I want to share with us just about the power of a testimony. It's something that has been coming in my heart for a while now, and I couldn't find the angle to speak about this. And I thought to myself, hey, maybe it's a good idea to speak about this, seeing that we are actually starting off this ministry calling Praise Reports, where we want to encourage people writing down testimonies and prayer requests. And for me, this sermon is not so much what I'm going to say today, but it's all about the fruit I'm expecting God to birth in us to start this culture of testimony. So this morning, I'm just throwing seed at you, and I'm trusting God for that seed to grow and to become trees of righteousness in you that will really change the way we do church and life together every single day. But also, I thought about this in this week, and I thought, you know, actually, in my short experience in the ministry compared to Mario and the older folk here, I've seen that the church, well-aged people in ministry, sorry. I've seen them in my short experience in ministry where I've been involved, that this area of testimony is really one area that the church has neglected about the kingdom of God. And that for me is a great concern because there's so much locked up into the testimonies of God which we can benefit from and how we can live a new life. And what I believe with us and starting this ministry, I really believe that God wants to restore this aspect of his kingdom to us as a local church here today. Because guys, God doesn't give us testimonies so we can feel good about what we share to people. That's not the heart about it. God gives us testimonies so we can boast about what he's doing in our lives. It's all about giving God glory. That's all that it's about. And we are just privileged for God to use our mouths and our story to give him glory and praise. Amen? So that's the morning, the angle I want to just take on this and just share with you my concern I have in the broader body of Christ. But I want to see us fulfilling this kingdom life, which will result in so much of goodness and God being glorified. And before I go on, I just want to show you a little short video clip, which will be encouraging to you to watch. Just have a look.
Bennett, my son was pronounced dead in the womb, but God raised him up. My wife, Betty Kay, and I were married in January of 1978 while we were attending Bible college in Dallas, Texas. And in August of that year, we went forth to Mexico as missionaries. What we didn't know at the time was that she was already expecting our first child. And so we arrived in Mexico without that knowledge, but a couple of months later, it became apparent that she was indeed pregnant. A few days after finding that out, perhaps a week or two had gone by, she began to experience severe difficulties in the pregnancy, a lot of hemorrhaging, and we became quite concerned. And though we didn't speak Spanish, we sought out a Mexican doctor who did speak English, who had been trained in New York, and we went to him for a consultation. He ran a number of tests on Betty Kay, including a sonogram, which was somewhat new at the time. I took her home after that visit, and the following day I came back for the results and spoke with the doctor, and he showed me the sonogram. And what he said to me was that the fetus, as he called it, had died, the sac had collapsed, and the hemorrhaging was this beginnings of a spontaneous abortion. He said that within a couple of days the fetus would pass and that she would be all right after that. I heard what he said with my head, but with my heart, it did not enter in. I did not receive his words with my heart. I knew something different. We had known she was pregnant for a few weeks, and we had a very sure word in our hearts that we were going to have a son and that his name would be David. I returned home from that doctor's visit, and I told my wife, Betty Kay, I said, the doctor said that you just need to stay in bed and rest, and you'll be okay. I didn't tell her what he really had said because I decided not to believe what he had said. I had a different word from God. And we began to hang on and believe God, and we would pray together and pray over the baby. And We just simply did not believe the doctor's report, nor did she even know the doctor's report. And so a few days went by and nothing had happened. And I began to realize nothing was going to happen, that God had was going to or had done a miracle. And so once some time passed, we decided we did not go back to that doctor. We moved back to Texas for other reasons. And in Texas, we did find another doctor. And that doctor did not notice anything out of the ordinary. And the full pregnancy passed, including 2 extra weeks. What may have happened in those 2 weeks, we don't know. But we do know that David was born 2 weeks late, but perfectly healthy, with no complications and no problems. And he's 34 years old today, and is a blessed young man. I want to encourage all of you that are here tonight to realize that you have two different ways you can hear God. You have, we'll say, two sets of ears. You have your natural hearing, your natural capacity to hear what people say, but you also have the capacity to hear what God says. You have the capacity to receive His Word. The Spirit would bear witness with your spirit. If we spend all of our time only listening with our natural ears to what the doctor says, to what our neighbors say, to what our family says, all of the doubts, the fears, the scientific facts, if that's all we're hearing, then it's going to be more difficult to hear what God has to say. I was able to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say at the same time that the doctor was speaking to me. As the doctor was speaking to me saying the baby has died, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, no. That may have been the only word I got from the Holy Spirit, but that no overcame the word of the doctor. And I was able to believe what my spirit was hearing instead of what my head was hearing. This is a very major key in receiving anything from God. We're spiritual beings. We have the capacity to hear God. So let His Spirit minister to you tonight.
Powerful stuff. Amen. Let's just give God a hand for that powerful testimony. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And guys, I want to tell us this morning that testimonies is a big deal for God. It's a very big deal to Him. It's so close to His heart because it, and you can write this down, it reveals His nature and it demonstrates His covenant towards us. It shows us who He is. And it demonstrates to us, in a way, His power and His ability. And for me, testimonies is key in creating a culture of the supernatural, a culture where God can be God again. I think in this week I've read in Matthew, just again, how Jesus addressed the Pharisees for hanging on to their traditions and making the power of God of no effect. God doesn't want us to hold on to our traditions, but hold on to Him. So He can come and do what He wants to do again through us and in us. And testimonies for me is key in overcoming the enemy. And I'm going to show you that a bit later on. It's also a key for us for staying encouraged in the Lord. Not getting offended, not getting sidetracked, but staying focused on God. And also for me, a big one is testimonies is important for developing a kingdom culture, like I said, for the impossible to become possible again. Now, when you hear the word testimony, what do you think of? Many of us, and for a long time myself, before I start preparing and working through this, we associate the word testimony only with the day of our salvation. Amen? The day we got born again. The day we met Christ for the very first time. Or some of us may even say, no. My testimony is the day when I experienced God's power in deliverance from drugs or the demonic hold or drinking or smoking or whatever it may be. But I want to surprise you this morning and tell you that that is not the only thing the Bible refers to when it speaks to the testimonies of the Lord. And I want to jump into that wave and ride that wave onto Grotto Beach this morning. And show you that the testimony of the Lord is so much bigger than just your story of salvation. It includes that definitely. And that's powerful and that's necessary. But there's something else that God wants to give us this morning which will really create this culture of sharing the stories. In actual fact, guys, God wants us to bring a culture of just sharing His story again. History. This is His story. Stop living our story and living His story. Declaring His story once again. Because that is the greatest story. Amen? That is, for me, the gospel. The good news. What God has done for us. Setting us free and giving us life. So the first thing you can write down then what is a testimony? To give you a definition, I'm going to come back to this. Is a testimony is the written and spoken record of anything that God has done in history. I'm going to say it again. A testimony is any written or spoken record of what God has done in the history of mankind. That's very broad, but I'm going to come back to that. First of all, the Bible says that the testimony of the Lord is also our inheritance as Christians. Look here at Psalm 119, verse 111. It says, David says, your testimonies, God, are my inheritance forever. They are the joy of my heart. Your testimonies are my inheritance forever. Now, what is inheritance? I may be wrong. I thought about this yesterday. But inheritance is something you receive when somebody has died. Amen? Dis jou erfporsie wat jou ouers vir jou los nadat jy nadat hulle gesterf het. And you become the beneficiary of what they've given you. And this is what God is saying to us here, that his testimonies has become our eternal possession. It is yours to own. You must just grab hold of it through faith and say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. And my question to us this morning is for you is, have or has God done anything in your life? Who can raise a hand? 95% of people here says they can testify that God has done something in their lives someday, somewhere. Now, I want to tell you this morning, if you answered yes to that question, then that act of God in your life has become your inheritance and your possession to own. That's yours, God has given to you. That is your story. That is his story through your life. That is your inheritance in the family of God for all the ages. But the good news, I'm going to take this further this morning. The good news for us this morning is our inheritance in Jesus is not only limited to what you've experienced. Because that would have been a very boring life, amen? Because if God didn't do it in my life, then it can't be true. But that's not what the Bible says. Your inheritance is every activity that can be found on planet Earth is your inheritance. Whether it is in my life, whether it is in your life, whether it is in the Bible, wherever you find it, doesn't matter. That becomes your eternal possession to own. God's testimonies are our inheritance. Amen. You see, this morning we got this prophetic picture of a river. And for me, that's, again, a picture of God's testimonies in our lives. They are forever running. Guys, do you know that the works of God never die? They are eternal. So picture a river. You can anytime in your life scoop down and take some water and drink. That's what the Bible says here, that these testimonies, you can pick anyone written or recorded or spoken and say, no, I take that for me. They are eternal. Look at this. For example, look at the story of Pentecost. Powerful story, eh? It's in our history. But you know what? Many of us have partaken of that eternal inheritance that has happened there. Many of us are spiritual, I mean. Many of us pray and speak in tongues, experience the gift of... What has happened? We took of that inheritance for us. Guys, the stories in the Bible are not only stories, they are prophecies for us to fulfill. The story of the Red Sea, we're seeing God's power separating the sea and delivering his nation from the Egyptians. Many of us here are saved. We experience God's deliverance from the world. Amen? Symbolically going through the Red Sea. These stories are not only stories. We can visit them at any time we'd like and draw strength on them because they are our eternal possession. Do you guys understand that? It's so much bigger than your day of salvation. It's your inheritance. Look at this interesting, funny, maybe sometimes confusing scripture I found this week, but it just says this so beautifully. Here in Psalm 66, I think it's a psalm of Asaph. It says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doings towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot, and there we will rejoice in him. Come and see the work of God. Guys, for me, this is so funny because how can we come and see a work which took place thousands of years before this guy wrote these scriptures? The book of Psalms took place hundreds of years after the people went through the Red Sea and the Jordan on dry ground. You see, when we are invited to a show or a play, we expect to see new things, amen? New moves, new stories, new songs, new acts. But with God is different. He says, come and see the works of God. They already took place, guys. Because they are our inheritance, because they live forever, we can just draw from them. Look what says David. He says, there when it happened, that testimony, there we will rejoice. There we will gain strength from that. This is powerful. The works of God are our inheritance. Forever, to draw strength from. That's your story to own. These are not just stories in the Bible we read for our children at Children's Church or at night. They are more than stories, like I said. They are actually prophecies to remind us of God's nature and His covenant towards us. That is the sad thing about religion. It reduced the power of God to a story. God's works live forever. Take that. I want to ask you, are you going to take that this morning as your own? You see, when we relive those stories, for instance, Pentecost, we think of how they prayed and how they were hungry for God and God came like a mighty rushing wind and the flames of fire were upon their head. Just imagine that. Their lives got changed forever. And Peter gave the amazing sermon. Actually, he gave a testimony of what Christ has done for us. And 3,000 got saved. And the church was launched. Just in sharing that story, it becomes an invitation for us to draw from that. To live out of that reality. God is not dead anymore, guys. He's living, amen? And He's ready to move among us again. And the reason why it is not only a story but a prophecy is because in the book of Revelations, John says that there is a direct link between what God has done and what God will do again. Guys, this is my highlight of my sermon. Just please don't forget this. Revelation tells us that there's a direct link between what God has done and what God will do again for us. Read with me here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. There's only the last part because there's a place where John comes. He saw an angel. Some people believe it's actually a human that was in heaven. Fall at his feet. He says, no, you know, don't worship me. Worship God. And then he said, listen here. For the Spirit of Jesus is the spirit. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Say that with me. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now this scripture shows us that there is a direct link between testimony and prophecy. And for me, this was totally new. I'm sharing it off my heart, and I trust that there will be revelation for you in this. Now, so this scripture is saying, what is saying to us, and I think of it for us starting this new ministry, practically, it's saying to us that when somebody comes to testify, when a testimony is spoken, then it carries the spirit of prophecy with it. And because it carries the spirit of prophecy, every testimony becomes significant, prophetically. There's no dead work in the kingdom. There's no dead words spoken. Words live forever. So because a testimony carries the spirit of prophecy, it becomes significant for us to hear. And this morning I'm praying that we will have ears to hear what God is saying for us. Now, what is a testimony again? First of all, it's our inheritance, but that first one I mentioned, and this is important, it says, it is a written or spoken record of what anything Jesus has done in the planet Earth. It's the written or spoken record of anything God has done. That's the first part. That's the testimony of what God has done for us. That is linked to prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy can get scary for many people. It can be out there weird and funny, but I want to make it very easy for you to understand so that you can exercise and do this after today. Prophecy, in its most simplest definition, and you can write this down, is merely hearing from the Holy Spirit and repeating what He said to you. Who can do that? Five. Okay, let me encourage you. The Bible says in John 10, if you're His sheep, all can hear His voice. God, guys, is speaking to all of us all the time. Do you know that? God is not silent. He's not. He's our Father and you are His child. He loves you. You must just start to ask God, help me to recognize, like a radio. You know, in this room, there are many radio frequencies. All of us have cell phones. There are many MTN, Vodacom, Cell C, frequencies in the room. But your phone, because it is Vodacom, you will only catch the Vodacom signal. And in the same way, God is speaking to us the whole time. You must just tune in through the Holy Spirit to hear what He is saying to you.
So prophecy is only hearing what he says and repeating that to others. It's not thumb suck and wishful thinking. No, no, no. It's very, very practical, very, very easy. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that all of us can prophesy one after the other. That's very simple. Now, that's testimony. Any spoken or written record of what Jesus has done in all of history is all our inheritance. We can draw from that whenever we want to because that is eternal. And this side, prophecy is hearing from God and just saying what he said. Not acting, not adding, not subtracting, just being a messenger. Now, what can prophecy do? Prophecy is very interesting. Prophecy can do two things. And write this down. The first of all, prophecy can foretell the future and describe what is going to happen someday, a day in front. It can foretell the future. Now, most of us, this is the most generalized definition or experience we as a church have of the gift of prophecy. We want somebody to lay hands on us so they can say, listen here, Peter, you must go to Asia and plant 100 churches or be businessman and whatever. We want that lotto from God. And we want to see what God is saying to us. That is a part of what prophecy is all about. It foretells the future. For instance, the Bible is full of it. Look at all the prophets in the Old Testament. What did they do? They prophesied of the coming Messiah. They saw the day ahead and they said, listen, guys, there's going to be a son born in Bethlehem. All the rest. It's all history. Jesus, in I think Matthew 23, 24, said, listen, he prophesied about the end times. Saying, listen, in a few years from now, every stone you see that stands here will fall. And in 3 days, I will rebuild it. Not speaking about the physical buildings, but you will be resurrected. But he also prophesied about the falling of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Jesus moved in all the gifts of the Spirit. So the gift of this prophecy, the first part of it foretells the future. The second one, which is interesting and very powerful, is that it caused a change in present events. Prophecy causes change in present events. And this morning, as I was part of the intercession here, and I want to just thank you, the guys, for praying, because they prayed all my scriptures. I'm like, oh, God. It's amazing. So if you want to also hear God's voice, come and join the intercession. You will hear what is in God's heart. It's very easy. But prophecy not only foretells, it also causes a change in the present wherever the word is spoken. Now that's crucial for us in testimonies. An example of that is in Ezekiel chapter 37, when in the valley of the dry bones, where the prophet Ezekiel saw this valley of dry bones, dead bones of people in the grave. And what happened there? God said to him, listen, Ezekiel, speak to these bones. And he's like, whatever. He goes, no, 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 speak to them. And he speaks life into them and flesh and all these things. And what happened here is that's a picture of prophecy. God saying, he's hearing it, and he's just releasing that over the bones. And a great army of God became alive again. The prophecy caused the dry bones to become alive again. It caused change in the present circumstances. So you guys understand that? The two parts? And that is what God wants to do with us. Exactly the same. Now remember again, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So every time a testimony is told, it carries an anointing, guys, to bring change in the environment it is being told. Do you guys get that? Wherever testimony is shared, it carries an anointing to bring change. God is not giving us stories just to encourage us. And obviously, listen to me, testimonies do encourage us. It's good for us to hear what God is doing. Amen? But more than that, it's there to bring a reality check, a reality change where we are. So I want to ask us, from now on, when we do these praise reports, think of a testimony as something that has power to change the present events. And that excites me. Because that puts God on a new equation where he can do whatever he wants to do and how he wants to do it. Amen? That brings the X factor into our midst, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, the word for testimony in the Bible, Greek and Hebrew, the Hebrew word, I think, is edut, or I don't know, I'm not a language scholar, but it basically means we get the word witness from. And what is a witness? A witness is somebody that tells others what he has seen. He tells about the evidence he experienced. Amen? A witness. In the New Testament, I think the word means Martha. It means Martha. But the Old Testament one, from the word witness in Hebrew, we get the root word, which is profound, and that means, the word testimony in the root form means to repeat, to say again, or to do again. So the root word for testimony in Hebrew means to say again, to do again, or to repeat. So church, just stay with me here for a moment, because this is very important. So whenever somebody brings a testimony towards us, they are actually prophesying to us that God, what God is willing to do again amongst us. Isn't that amazing? That's powerful. So what God is saying, you guys, God is actually extending an invitation from you. He says, listen here, church, you've heard. Here's the invitation for me to come and do it once again in your midst. To repeat what I've done for Yaku, I will do for you. And that is powerful. And that is the reason why we want to build this culture of testimony, because we want to create an atmosphere for the supernatural to be duplicated in people's lives. It's not good enough when I share that only I'm blessed. God wants you also to be blessed. And when you've got ears to it, you will be encouraged by it, but you must realize there's an anointing to bring change in your life when I bring a testimony. So this morning, when this Barry guy shared about his wife and the pregnancy and the almost abortion, you must realize he was not saying that. He was prophesying over you that there can be healing in your life as well. So if you are a lady here this morning and you've got womb issues, we want to pray with you afterwards. God has spoken that anointing into this place. God will do it again for us. Amen? That is so powerful. Now, I've heard this story last year doing a Bible school in Cape Town, and it was profound to me. And it just illustrates this whole point so clearly. It was, I think it was Bill Johnson, I don't know, a pastor in America. They went on a mission trip up north in Canada, and they preached and had a miracle crusade, and there was a little boy who had club feet, you know, feet that was turned around. So you walk on the top of your feet. And they prayed for him, and God healed the boy immediately. Okay, his feet turned back. And he was so shocked, he stood there, and he says, one of his friends come to him, a little boy, I think he was 9 or 10, says, listen here, say his name was, I don't know, Peter. He says, Peter, don't stand here. Run, Peter, run. He's like, yo, let's run. Remember, he's never run in 10 years. This boy starts. He runs. Everywhere, the whole church at home, he runs. Great miracle. Everybody's very blessed by it. The mission team returned to their church, and I think 2 or 3 weeks later, he comes, and Bill starts up, and he shares this incredible miracle of club feet returning. And everybody's like, wow, amazing. And what happened was, afterwards, it was pretty important. There sat a lady in the church auditorium. And as this pastor shared this testimony, she thought to herself, listen here, I'm going to take that for my child. And that's the key for you to listen to. Listen to when I'm sharing testimony, because that you will need to do when testimonies are sharing. She said, listen here, I'm going to take that for my child. So what happened was, Bill shared the story about his feet returning, and this lady heard it. Everybody encouraged. And she said, listen here, that's mine too. And she went off to church, she went to feed a kid at children's church. And as she was calling her daughter, and as the daughter ran to her, she saw, listen here, but her child's feet is also healed. Because she couldn't walk in a similar way than the boy, Peter, with the club feet. So what this lady did is she just said, listen here, God, what God has prophesied over us in church, I'm going to take for myself, and I'm going to extend that towards my child. And it happened. Isn't that powerful? God can do this. God's heart is to do it again for us, guys. And that reminds me so much of even the story in John chapter 4. Jesus was with the woman at the well. But what happened at the end? She was so touched by God, she had a testimony, and she went to share that thing where? In a town. What happened? Everybody came back and got saved as well. What she brought, they experienced because God duplicated that in the rest of the town's life. That's what God wants to do for us. And it sort of reminds me of the picture of Genesis chapter 1, where the Spirit of God is hovering over the earth, and all He does is He's waiting for the spoken word of God to create that. Let there be light, and He made light. Let there be matter, and there was matter. Guys, God hadn't changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's hovering over your heart. And when I say these words, He can create it into your life. Physical ailments today can be healed. wants to do it again. He will do it again. Amen? So be ready. Be ready for God to move among us. So in the future, when we start to bring testimonies of how people got healed, of how people got businesses, of people got restored marriages, of children that came back to the Lord, remember, that's not only a story to feel good about. It's God's invitation for us to say, listen here, I will do it for you again. See this morning, God's little invitation card. He's upholding it to us to say, my child is there. Just grab it. You just grab it. It's yours. And apply it like the lady did for her daughter in the nursery. And lastly, on this point, I want to just say that is why when God does something in your life, and hear our hearts, when God is doing something in your life, it doesn't matter if it's small or big. That's not the issue. Please don't be silent about it. Please share it. Become a testifier. Speak about it. Because in that way, you will first of all build your faith and grow your faith. But do you know what? Secondly, you will start to prophesy over other people what God will do for them as well. So God gets the glory both ways. Amen? You see, because God hasn't changed and He's the same, what He's done for me, He will do for you. He's no respecter of persons. What He did for Barry on the screen, He can do for you. What He did for that little boy with the club feet, He will do for you. Amen? There's no limits with God. Just bring your faith towards Him. Then the second thing, that was first of all, testimony is prophecy. The second thing I really enjoy about testimonies, and I think it's very crucial for us, is that testimonies helps us to keep our eyes fixed on what Jesus is doing and not what He's not doing. Oh, guys, this is huge. Testimonies help us to look at what God is doing, not what He's not doing. Amen? Now, this is very important for us because most of us forget quickly what God has done for us. And we tend to be negative and always see what is missing in a room and missing in a person's life. And we bring that towards what God, and God, you're not doing this and you're blessing my friend and not me. And we're missing the whole thing. But testimonies just brings us back onto what Jesus is doing. Because we're hearing and we're seeing what He's doing now. He's revealing His nature and His covenant towards man. And to give you an example from this, from the Bible, which is amazing, was in Matthew chapter 11. It was a funny story between Jesus and John the Baptist. And I'm going to read it to you and then just going to comment on it, because then you will see exactly what Jesus did to John to help him focus on him again. It says here, then John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard all the things that Jesus was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is preached to the poor. And verse 6, and tell him, John, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Different translation says, blessed are those who are not offended by me. Okay, think with me through this story. Here John sits in prison, okay? In a cell, probably stinks, probably dirty, didn't shower for months and months on end. The guy is edgy. He hears about the great things Jesus is doing everywhere in all the cities of Jerusalem, of Israel. And he asks, and he sends his son, he says, just ask Jesus, who are you? Are you the Messiah, or do we wait for a next generation superhero? Yeah. And think about this, guys. John the Baptist is asking this question. But a few chapters earlier, he was the one that through the Holy Spirit saw who Jesus was. He got revelation from God the Father that when you see the dove on him, that is the Messiah, that is the Son of God. He was the one that says in John, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John, who got revelation from God himself, now questions the existence of the Messiah. Why did it happen? You see, because he was in a prison, he didn't look at what God was doing, but what he was not doing. God, why don't you take me out of the prison, God? God, why do you heal that person? Why do you forget about me in prison, guys? And Jesus says, John, no. Tell him that they are being raised, the deaf are here. Look at what am I doing, John, not what I'm not doing, John. Do you guys get that? Jesus helps him to put his focus on what is God doing at the very moment. And that for us is so, 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 so important. You see, guys, God designed the nature of the testimony to make us more conscious of Him. Do you hear that? The testimony is made to put our focus back on Christ. And the only way we're going to do that is by creating a culture where people start to look what God is doing. We need to hear and we need to see what God is doing. If it's not happening in your life, it's definitely happening in somebody else's life. And then you need to look at that and draw strength from that. And you see, when we are doing that, the fruit, the automatic fruit of looking at what Christ is doing is what? Our faith levels will rise. And we will see God in a different eye. And when our faith rises, our hope is there, and then anything is possible. And then we expect good to come to us. Then we're not looking at what God is not doing in our prison, but looking at what God is doing outside, and we're happy for the people experiencing the miracles. So our faith level rises. And once again, this is so close to home for me and my wife, because a few years ago when I was going through terrible things with my health and almost dying, I was 12 hours away from dying from septicemia 3 years ago. And God supernaturally rescued my life and gave me a second chance to live. And I'm so thankful for His healing power today. That's why I cannot but want to pray for the sick. Because God is, what God has given me, I want to give away. Freely I've received, freely I must give away. So come on. But a few years ago, when we was down our dumps, and Valerie and Lunay knows these stories, we just said, God, I was exactly like John the Baptist. I was like, God, you are not moving in my life, and you forgot about me and my calling. I was totally offended like John the Baptist in the prison. I was in my own prison of offense. And then I heard what God did in Stoffel and Linda's life and what they experienced. And I thought to myself, listen here, let's give it a shot. And we invited them just for dinner. And guys, I tell you, it is as yesterday. We didn't have fancy stuff or fancy food and whatever. The only thing I remember was we sat there and we just asked him, tell us your story. Give us your testimony. And I tell you, my experience after that was, it felt like wells was unblocked in my life. Because they put my focus back on Christ. I'm like, God, is this possible in the kingdom? It was amazing, guys. The power of this has got the power to pull you out of a pit and to restore you by changing your focus back on Jesus. And Carmen and my lives, we are totally flipped around because we learn to look at Christ, what Jesus is doing. Let me tell you, it's not easy. We sometimes does look at my neighbor and all this and all that, but I've learned, no, forget about this. Jesus, where are you? Where are you, God? Focus on that. Because guys, if we can just see Him, if we can just lock eyes with Him, you can draw strength from Him. He will pull you through the storm. Amen? The testimonies help us to focus on Christ. It also helps us in this regard if we keep them in front of our eyes. Listen, your testimony is niks waard if it's on the shelf. If it's in a book, read it out so we can hear. Amen? Testimonies also help us when we keep it in front of our eyes to create a bigger God perspective versus a bigger devil perspective. Come on. I am so sick of people having a big devil focus. God is sovereign. God is good, amen? The testimonies help us to see the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's done it for us all. Just don't be devil focused, man. He's a defeated foe. He's scared of us. We have been given authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions. Amen? He's just like a little Jack Russell. Nuff, 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 nuff. Shut up, man. We don't speak to Him, we command Him, okay? That's what you do. But we come from a place where we are fighting not for victory, but from victory. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. From above, we rule and reign with Jesus. Amen? Testimonies helps us in that regard. Amen? So guys, we cannot ignore. Sorry. So I want to encourage us. And all our leaders, practically for our leaders, please, guys, whenever we meet in small groups, whatever meeting we have, wherever, start pursuing the testimony. I want us to create this culture of looking at Christ first before we plan all this other nonsense. And I'm a planner. I'm good at planning. I love that. But I'm learning, God, what are you first? Let's talk about what you are doing, God. So guys, a tip for your small group, start with testimonies. Say, guys, what is God doing? And just share what God is doing in your life. It doesn't have to be profound or deep or English or Greek. Just say it. Amen? Now that doesn't mean for us we ignore what God is not doing. I'm just going to throw that balance in here. It's not we are super faith heroes. The devil is defeated. Doesn't mean we ignore what's not going. We obviously are real. We obviously are sober in this world. But it only means that we are not focusing on those things. We acknowledge them. We say, listen, God, they are there, but listen, yeah, my focus is on Jesus. I'm in the boat. The storm is hectic. I'm going to drown, but Jesus, you are with me. I will make it to the other side, Jesus. Because, Jesus, I've seen your testimony before we fed the multitudes. Lord, that testimony of yesterday will be my anchor for the storm now, God. Amen? Testimonies of yesterday will be the anchor for the storm today. But we've got a whole Bible of testimonies, guys. Our inheritance. Draw from them. Come on. The power of testimonies. Amen? It will bring faith in our hearts to release faith to others who don't have a breakthrough. Amen? The last thing I want to say about testimonies, which amazes me again, is testimonies can also be used in warfare. I don't know if you know that, but that is exciting. It can be used as a tool of warfare. I grew up in church where we just shut up, bind the devil, rebuke the devil. That's warfare. Throw holy water everywhere. You know, I've learned there's other ways to warfare as well. More life-giving ways to warfare. Amen? Godliness is warfare. If I choose life and not death, that's warfare. And I'm saying no to evil, I'm saying yes to God. I defeat him in that moment. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. We all know the scripture. Andy spoke about it last week, last year, a million times. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the plague that we deny ourselves and we take up our cross in Christ and we follow him. First of all, we overcome him by the blood of Jesus. What is that? Guys, the blood of Jesus is what legally paid our way. It's what gave us a legal way to overcome Satan. The blood of Jesus paid for our debts. It gave us the victory over Christ once and for all. The wrath is satisfied in Jesus. That's the legal way, the blood. And we must thank God every day for the blood, because without that, we are all doomed for hell. The blood is so precious. The legal way, the blood. The second way I want to stop here is the word of our testimony. That word, testimony in Greek, is the word martyrion. Okay? That nice Afrikaans, martyrion. The word of a testimony, what does that do? That is the part that releases the power over the enemy. That means you need to speak, declare your testimony. Remember, not only the salvation, whatever God does on earth, that's a testimony. The blood is the legal way. The testimony is the way that releases the power. It's like a bank. It's like your bank account. The blood is the money God put in $1 million into your bank account. You must, through faith, learn how to release that funds and pay for what has been given to you. Withdraw. Withdraw what God has done for us through the power of the testimony. We release. We enforce the victory of the cross. Amen? Now remember again, we said, when a testimony is given, God is present to duplicate that word in the place where it's spoken. And because of that, we can use this testimony as a tool of warfare. Okay? Just tick the dots here. We can use it as a tool of warfare to come against any prevailing spirit over a town or a person's life. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and what God did for me, he will do for you. Let me explain. For instance, the stronghold or the prevailing spirit in Hermanus is alcoholism. People, there's a lot of pubs. I've seen it with the outreach last year. A lot of pubs that people are crazy drunk. What do we do as the church? We come and we give testimonies of deliverance and healing from that power of alcoholism. Why? Because what God did for me, he will do for others. The testimony of Jesus is prophecy. It will cause a change in present events. Say, for instance, the prevailing spirit of Hermanus is poverty and lack of work, which in a big way is. People are struggling financially. What do is, we intentionally come and say, bring testimonies of genuine people finding work, being prospered, God's abundance. We share that because when we say that, we break down that that stronghold. Do you see that? Because when a testimony is spoken, God is there to duplicate that in the lives of people. And what He's done for you, He will done for me. Amen? It's a tool of warfare. And guys, that is why we cannot allow the enemy to make us silent any longer. Faith is a vocal thing. It must be spoken. That's why the tabernacle of David, praise must be sang. He cannot silence us because God is looking for agreement on the earth from His people. And the way we give God agreement is by declaring the works of Jesus. Remember again, Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is waiting for the declared word of Jesus. Amen? So He can do the miracle. Because His word cannot return void. That is why we cannot afford to be silent any longer, because our testimonies is meant to be a warfare weapon to overcome the enemy. Warfare, powerful. That brings me to my last point, which I want to conclude today with. That is, with testimonies, and to create this culture of it, we need to know how to keep the testimonies of the Lord. That is key in developing any culture. We need to intentionally keep them, not forget about them, but hold them before our eyes. This sounds very stupid and simple to say, but we don't do it. Human nations, we forget things God has done for us last week or last year. Amen? If we're not nucleariously writing it down or thinking through it, we forget about it. And and part of our inheritance is lost. Sad to say. And guys, keeping God's testimony is a big deal to God. If you look at the history of Israel, God said over and over to them in all of the Bible, my people, please keep my testimonies. Keep my testimonies. I read yesterday. He said it through David when David prayed for Solomon. He said, Solomon, my son, please look at it. Keep God's testimonies. Remember what God has done for us. It's all over Scripture. And there's a big deal to God once again. And an example of this is here in Deuteronomy 6, where God gives to Israel. Chapter 6 is a loaded chapter because it gives... God gave Israel like a one-on-one life class for Israel. How to live, what are the principles, what are the ways for them as a nation to live. And we can learn from that as the body of Christ. But here in verse 6, just listen to what God is saying regarding His word. He says, take to heart these words that I give you today. Listen, repeat to your children. Talk about them when you are at home or away. When you lie down or get up, write them down. Tie them around your waist and wear them as headbands as a reminder. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Isn't that what we as parents said we will do for our kids when we dedicate them? Why do we backslide? Write them down. Keep them before our eyes, on our palms, at our doors, wherever we go. Then verse 17 says, Moses says, be diligent to keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies, there it comes in, His statutes which He has commanded you. And listen to verse 20, because here is the purpose of testimony. It says, in the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these testimonies which the Lord our God has commanded you, Moses? Tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord used His mighty hand to bring us out of there. Right before our eyes, the Lord did miraculous signs and amazing things that were spectacular but terrible for Egypt, Pharaoh and his whole family. Then the Lord led us out of there to bring us here and give us this land He promised to our ancestors with an oath. You see God's heart? Here we encounter God's heart for the reason to keep His testimonies alive. And He says three things there in chapter 17. It's amazing. He says, Israel, keep my commandments. What is that? For us, that just means when God says to do something, just obey Him. Obedience. Plain and simple. He says, Israel, also keep my statutes. What is that? That's the principles of God, how to do and live life. And then last of all, He says, listen, you shall keep my testimonies because your kids are going to ask you, what are they? And then you need to tell them what I've done for you. Tell them the testimony of yesterday for them to be an anchor for them today. So to keep a testimony means a few things. It means to guide them, to watch over them, to protect them, and to focus on them, and especially the mighty acts of God. That's what the word keep means, is to watch over, to focus upon. And for us as a church, it means that we must remember them. We must revisit the acts of God in our lives. We must look upon them and we must actually meditate upon them. You know, meditation is a biblical principle, not an Eastern worldly thing. It means to fill our mind. Fill your mind with what God has done for you. Revisit them. Remember we said earlier, they're not only stories, they are reality for us. So we can draw from them. Why? Because there's a connection between testimony and prophecy. We said that earlier. God says in verse 20 that you see the testimonies of yesterday is meant to be a prophecy of God's nature, ability, and character for the generations to come. Guys, if we forget them, how are our kids going to remember them? God wants to use you through God. And that's why it's so important for us to remember, to keep in front of our eyes the testimonies of the Lord. Because that, listen to me, that will create, if we don't do that, it will create an atmosphere of hopelessness, despair, and unbelief, which will lead to offense and a place where we only limit our relationship with God to the natural realm. Where nothing impossible is possible anymore. It's just the way God is. Nothing happens in church. God wants us to keep his testimony because that, in effect, will bring loose a lot of beautiful and amazing things. It will help us not to lose sight of God so he can invade our lives once again. Guys, testimonies helped us to see that God is always ready to invade human history. It reminds us of that. So every time, church, when God does something in your life, please build a memorial stone. Do something to remember that event in your life so you can revisit that as you follow Jesus. So God, I'm not forgetting that. I'm keeping that in front of my eyes, God. And practically that means for you is write it down. Get a journal. If you don't write, just bullet points. That's why we get this card. It's just bullet points of what God has done. But get your own because this you're going to give to us and we're going to work through this. Journal it down. Write it down so you can remember it and revisit it as often as you like. Second of all, tell others about it. Speak about that to others, okay? That will do two things. We said earlier, it will build your faith because it will be amazing to you again to hear it. And secondly, it will be a prophecy to others what God wants to do in their lives. So tell, speak about that. So I want to end with this to ask us, church, let's build this culture of testimony. Amen? By keeping the stories of Jesus alive and again. Because I said earlier, it's the invitation of his heart to partake of his kingdom. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much this morning for your heart and your voice that you are speaking to us, Lord. And thank you for what you've done through us to Jesus, Lord. And you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you, Father, that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, God. Thank you that you've adopted us into your family. Thank you that you made us your own. And that was your great pleasure, Lord, from the beginning of this world. And thank you, God, for giving us so many stories to draw from. Thank you for giving us so many realities of your presence in our lives, Jesus. And God, this morning, it is my prayer for us as a church, God, that you will pour out your Spirit on us once again, God. And like the word testimony is, Father, we ask that you will come and do it again. God, what you've done for all your people in the ages past, Lord, come and do it again for us, God. We remind you of this word, God. Come and do it again. Lord, come and repeat the mighty acts that you've done, God, by us through the releasing what you've done in our lives. This morning, God, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, Father. What you're going to do in us and through us. God, we see the eagle flying here above us, Lord. And we just fix our eyes on that and say, Jesus, you are welcome to be the guest of honor among us. Lord, when you walked the dirty roads of Israel, God, wherever you went, the people were amazed. And they followed you and they couldn't wait but to touch the hem of your garment. And when they touched you, God, their lives would change forever. And this morning we ask that we will be bold enough to go out and just touch the hem of your garment again. Lord, come and do it again for us. As we remind ourselves of what you've done for us. So Father, I pray for your church and I release over them supernatural memories, God, of what you've done for them, God. Lord, I pray, God, that they will start to dream again about what you've done for them, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, God, that there will be no more memory losses, God. Thank you for healing the capacity to remember things years ago again, Lord, God. So they can revisit those stories, which is their inheritance once again, God. I pray for that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray also that you will give your people just courage boldness, Lord. To be willing and able, God, to share what you've done for them. Father, I break off the power of shame over us, God. That people will feel mine is not as big as Sonny's or as good as Sonny's. God, it's not about that. We know, God. It's about just sharing our faith and allowing you to use that to transform other people's lives, God. So, God, I just thank you for freedom from shame and guilt, God. And a childlikeness to just talk about what our Father has done. God, our heart's desire is just to boast in what you've done. To see you on display for all to see. In Jesus' name. Church, I want to just, as we sit here, and this is going to be a different altar call. I want to remind you of what we've spoken about. Andre can come up. I'm going to ask, feel free to be led. I want to see people to share testimonies. And whatever the testimony is spoken about, remember, you can take that by faith and let God do it in your life. That is the altar call today. And then when you do that, let's pray for you afterwards. Let's have Andre and Dion share here. Please make it short and powerful. But please come to the front if you want to share a testimony that will really help others. Let's go.
Morning, folks. Morning, guys. 3 weeks ago, I came to Yaku to share something with him that I experienced being away from here. I've been in Sutherland for the last 3 weeks building a telescope building for the National Space Agency. And while I was there one evening, one of the engineers came to me and he said, listen, have you got a bit of time? Come and have a peek through one of our telescopes. So I went along with him, and it wasn't properly dark yet. We were working late. And he said, but you'll still be able to see something mind-blowing. So obviously looked through the telescope, and it was absolutely indescribable what I saw. And I walked away kind of like bomb shock, you know, just trying to take in everything that was there. And as I walked out, one of the other guys, the astronomers there, said, so do you realize that what you've just seen has taken 16 years to get here? I walked away thinking, ish, that, you know, 16 years is a long time. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? And he said, when you go back home, share with my people that even though I've sent this, what you saw now 16 years ago, for you to experience and enjoy and see a greater and a different part of my creation. So, go and tell my people that the prophecies, the words of encouragement, the prophetic words, the utterances that they've received and they've grown weary waiting for them to happen, they must return to that prophecy.
Amen.
Remind them, let me, give me the right to remind them of the word that I've given, whether it was 6 years ago or 16 years ago, to return to them, to give them new hope, and to let them stand and be excited about what I already told them I was going to do and that it was going to come to pass, and they must pray it and live it into existence. Anyway, I didn't get a chance to share that, and I did now, but in the interim, I went back to complete the job. I was just home for the weekend. And in the last 2 weeks, it was actually quite funny, I shared it with Greg the same Sunday, and Tuesday he phones me, he says, so what else have you heard? I said to him, Greg, nothing yet, but I'll share when I get back. And lo and behold, and I said, Lord, there's a need. You need to tell me more. And we had a problem with our electricity, and I ended up speaking to the same engineer, and he said, you know, I've been trying to get hold of you, because I made a mistake in what I told you. He said, that stuff that you saw didn't take 16 years. It took 16 light years. there's a bit of a difference. You can go and Google it just to blow your own mind. Go and Google the difference between a normal year and a light year. And then that's a totally different kettle of fish. And the last thing I'd like to share with you, on Friday, we were just completing our building and polishing and carrying on and packing up our equipment because we came home on Friday. And, you know, Southern is a harsh place. It's not a place for sissies. And it's a tough, tough place for animals too. And there's a herd of local springbok that actually live at the observatory. And I saw one ewe leaving and being on her own. And I said to my foreman, I said, "Listen, she's going to have a lamb now." He said, "No, sir. There's no food here. There's nothing here." No. And lo and behold, she lay down. And I kept watching her head through the little bushes. And she lay down flat. 2 minutes later, she got up. And I crept as close as I could and tried to be as inconspicuous as this can be. And lo and behold, there was this little lamb. And God said to me, in the most harsh condition, in the most adverse time of your life, there will be new life, and I will birth new things in for you.
Amen. Amen. You got it, man.
Good morning, everyone. We'll finish now in 1 or 2 minutes.
I'll be quick. As quick as I can be, but about last year, we as a family went through, and we've been here now 4 years, and we went through quite a tough time financially, and I really needed work, and in the last 4 years, it was work that I got, and then it lasted for a while, and then, but I just felt that the Lord wanted me to work with people, and He's going to open the door, and what happened is that last year, I actually part-time gave class at the school, at the high school, as an IT teacher for them, because I didn't have an IT teacher at that stage. But there was no position. So at the end of the year, they said they want me for the following year. Can I apply? I said, well, let's try and find out. So the principal did a couple of things. All the doors just closed. There was no way. Then they said, well, if we can find 10 children that's interested in IT, then we will create a position. And they couldn't find that. So they couldn't create the position. Then the second thing was that they didn't have the finances. So I kept on praying and I said, Lord, you want me here, you will open the door. In that process, there was another school that approached me, or actually approached them. I sent in all my information to them and they never came back to me. But very close to the end of last year, the curriculum advisor came and they came and sat down, and I got an email from the other school saying that if you're still interested, we can talk. And I just felt very strongly, and I want to refer to what Barry was saying on the video, that we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I felt very strongly the Lord said to me, say no. Say no in faith. And I said, no, I'm not going to take it. I said, I'm not available. And at that stage, there was nothing at the high school. And then I sat down and had a meeting with the principal, and this curriculum advisor came and I said that a position was created for the school. We're going to make the school an IT center. And that opens up a position, a government position for a teacher. Now, all I want to say is that, yes, we must trust the Lord, because He makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
Where for the normal eye, there is no way. There was just no possibility for me to go there. But God opened the door. I praise Him for that.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
On Sunday, 7 February, I went to Cape Town, pending going on Monday morning for serious cardiac tests and even a pending operation. Early in the morning, I asked God just to give me a word. I just have to read that word. It is so encouraging. It's Psalm 21 from verse 1. The king shall joy in your strength, O Lord. And in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah, for you send blessings of good things to meet him. You set a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of you, and you gave it to him, long life forever and evermore. His glory is great because of your aid. Splendor and majesty you bestow upon him, for you make him to be blessed and a blessing forever. You make him exceedingly glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts, relies on, and is confident in the Lord. And through the mercy and steadfast love of the Most High, he will never be moved. So I went to Tigerberg with no more fear and worry. And I did not get surgery. They only postponed it by 2 months. But there is still a lot of room and time for God's miracles to take place. Amen.
Amen. So church, to end today, I wanted to encourage you that each one of you has got a story to tell. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say you don't. God will renew your memory to pull out the stories he's done in your life. And if you don't have one, listen to others. God is busy doing amazing things in the earth. Amen? So this morning, I want to do the altar call as we're going to have coffee. If you have got any physical ailment, you've heard Barry's testimony, you've heard my testimony, then God is present here to duplicate that in your life. It doesn't matter what the physical ailment is. The whole morning I woke up and I sat in worship, I've got a very sore shoulder. And I don't get shoulder pain, but it's a body check. I'm just, if any of you have got like a upper back shoulder pain in your neck, then I want to, is there somebody like that? That's got neck issues, pain in your neck, your muscles, shoulder? Then there's a few here. Then I want you to come to the front and we're going to pray and God is going to heal you. If you've got issues in the womb, as a lady, you struggle to get pregnant, or you're scared of having children, whatever is in the womb for ladies, we want to speak life over your uterus and God will make you fruitful again. You will not lose those babies anymore. If you've got a history of abortions, God wants to just heal you of that as well this morning. Amen. If you've got any physical, business-related poverty issues, but under a prophesied about, come, we want to trust God for radical breakthrough in your life. Because what God did for Andre, he can do for you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning and your presence. Thank you for this culture that's going to be birthed, God, of us sharing in your story what you are doing in our lives. I bless your people, Father, with joy, your presence, and your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, have a wonderful day. Sorry for being a little bit longer, but I preach not many times. So have a nice day. And please come forward for any prayer requests. We would love to pray with you. God bless you. Amen.